Welcome to the doghouse. James Bond wins in the 250 East. We had once.
That explains why Pierce Bronson sucks.
Yes, yeah.
I'm like, why do I know that name? It's Pierce Brown, though, not Pierce.
Yeah,
Bronson.
I know.
Oh,
I
was going to see whether you. Funny. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
It was great. And we had World Superbike kickoff, and it was it went according to script. I'll just say that.
Yeah. I want to say a couple things, right? Just before we get into the motorcycles, want to clear a couple things. Was awesome to watch the Olympics this last year. You know, I always love the Olympics. The Olympics are my favorite Olympics. I don't really care much for the Summer Olympics. I mean, there's sports there I watch, but it's like, eh.
Yeah, I'm kind of like that too. But I like the Summer Olympics. I do tend to like the Summer Olympics from the standpoint that, you know, when you look at the U.S. won 12 gold medals, I believe, in this Olympics, which was a record
for Winter Olympics. Yeah.
But, you know, in the Summer Olympics, the U.S. dominates the Summer Olympics and has for many, many years.
We got to find somebody who beat that Norwegian guy in shooting.
Yeah.
Right? And like the biathlon and cross-country skiing. That guy's like Michael Phelps of skiing.
Yeah, he is.
But here's what I'm going to say. I love hockey. Watching the men's and women's team both win gold. Pleasure.
Yes.
Loved it.
Well, we wait, you know, what, 5 decades between?
Yeah, 46 years.
46
right?
years.
The women, so. they win a bit more often, right? Yeah. A lot of Huskies, Northeastern Huskies on that women's team. Mm-hmm. Actually, a lot on Canada. Most of the gold medal games were like, there was like, I think like 7 or 8. Northeastern Huskies there.
Yeah, very, very good.
Mammals of Lust and Destruction. Yeah. I will say this. You know I love curling. If you listen to this show at all, curling is like big sport. I had a great time watching the speed skating. You know, I like anything that moves.
Yeah.
Fast.
Yeah.
Speed skating. Yeah. And then this year, I've always watched bobsled, right? I think that's fun and stuff. And there's a lot of good stories.
Yep.
This year, I also watched a lot of the luge, men's and women's and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I watch them. It's one of those things where I don't like it when gravity is the number one competitor. You know what I mean?
They are going so fast.
They're going so fast.
They're cornering. I mean, it's like watching road racing, but with a high level of danger.
It's pretty much
dangerous.
Yeah, and it's pretty much, especially luge, it's pretty much just a slow motion crash, right? And it's whether when you're going to crash or if you're going to make it, right? If your crash would have happened after you hit the end. But
And then I'm not even going to mention the jiggly butts on the women's side. Oh, my Jesus. They'd hit the wall. I'd be like, hit the wall again. But that's terrible. Send your hate mail to Ken at NDNRadio.com. Yeah,
there you go.
He won't answer it. But the speeds, they were doing like 70 miles an hour.
Yeah. 80, my favorite Winter Olympics was actually here in the U.S. It was actually in Lake Placid. That was my favorite Winter Olympics.
I've been to the Lake Placid, like, you know, the grounds there and stuff.
Yeah.
And everything, but I was a wee baby. That is actually, so I know this sounds really weird. And kids these days, they don't understand. That was like the first time I remember my father coming home from work and he'd heard on the radio because the 80 hockey game against the Russians was going to be tape delayed. Everybody, I mean, the whole world thought we were going to get our butts handed to us, right?
We always had.
Yeah, we always had for 20 years, right?
Yep,
Russians have been whooping, beat everybody but the Flyers, right?
Yep,
the Russians have beat everybody. If you don't know that, Google that. There's a guy, fat electrician, watches YouTube channel on the on the Flyers versus the Russians. But and I remember my father coming home from work and, like, you know, I was a kid then, you know, back then kids had bedtimes, right?
Yep.
And my father, it didn't get put on till 8 o'clock. So that means it wasn't going to get over to like 11 or so, right?
Yeah.
My father was like, we're staying up and watching, you're watching a hockey game. That's the first game I remember watching
a
full game with my dad and like staying up and all this stuff. And even though you knew they won, right? Yeah. You knew they won because I think there was a radio broadcast that had it live and people had been listening.
Yes. Yes, there was.
Mm-hmm. You still watched, and it was like the biggest thing that happened in sports that year.
Oh, there's no question about it.
Maybe even that decade. I mean, it was huge.
I think you could make a good argument to say it was probably the biggest sporting event in the U.S.
Maybe ever.
Maybe in 46 years, right?
Yeah. So, this one was pretty. I watched this one, and oh my God, I was so happy. I watched the women's game. I watched the men's game.
Yeah.
I only got to see
the third period of the women's game.
I love hockey. I love the winter sports. But I will tell you what, being a kid watching that beating the unbeatable Soviets in the Cold War, that was pre-Top Gun. We hadn't given them the bird yet. You know, there was a lot of stuff going on there. Mm-hmm. They were in Afghanistan. There's a whole bunch. Now we're in Afghanistan. Now time's turned.
They were still the Soviet Union at that time.
They were still the Soviet Union, right?
Yep.
And man, it was just a phenomenal game. And the hockey game, this hockey game is like rivaled that, which is just impressive.
I just want the U.S. team to win curling one time. One time, and I'll be, God can take
and
me.
And women's curling.
Yeah. It's
they
tough.
They got to do that soon.
It's tough.
Ken, I don't even know why we're doing the show. We should have left yesterday to go to North Carolina because they're having the U.S. curling championships there.
Is that right?
If I had known that earlier, I saw a commercial for it. I'm like, son of a bitch. If I had known that earlier, I'd have been like, Ken, I'll take off from work. Meet me there. We'll go watch curling.
Yeah.
I had everybody at work was like cheering for it. They're like, I'm like, oh, I'm going to watch curling. They're like, why are you watching that? And then they're like, I was like yelling at these people playing ice shuffleboard. It's like,
girl. Yes. Yeah.
It's a great team.
I love it. I love it.
Anyways. All right.
By the way, do you still have your curling game? Okay.
I have a tabletop curling game. I was debating taking that into work, and I'm like, if somebody breaks something, I will.
Yeah, that'd probably be a hard one to replace. You don't see many of those.
No, I will lose my shit. But yes, I have a tabletop curling game. I love that thing.
We used to play it in the studio. We played it in the studio.
Yeah. In the studio, we'd clear off the studio table and play and curl.
Yeah.
Good times. Yep. Anyways, what do you want to talk about? World Snoozer Bike or?
Well, I was going to say World Superbike went according to plan, right? I mean, it was
World Superbike.
It's clear, except one thing that I think the wild card was the wet track in race two, and Bulig is not supposed to be good in the rain, and in fact, if you look at his past history, he's horrible in the rain. He destroyed the field.
There's like nobody there to challenge him.
See, the only one I can think of is the Lowe's brothers. Both of them are very good on wet tracks.
Tires to do that.
Yeah, exactly. But those are the two that are in the. Yeah, but that's how they stay on a bike, right? You go slow. That's what works for them. You go fast, you fall off.
You go fast,
right?
They go boom boom.
Yeah, exactly.
I was kind of shocked. I thought Gerloff had a better weekend than I thought he was going to have.
Yeah, Gerloff's not bad in the wet either.
Right?
Yeah.
But, okay, we talked about, World Superbike might be dying. If Buliga wins every race this season, you might as well not have a season next year. No one's going to watch.
Yeah,
I agree with that. What do they got, three rounds this year? Halfway through the third round, people are going to stop watching this year.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
What's the point of watching that?
And that's exactly what Razgatlioglu predicts. He's going to win everything. You know?
Yeah.
No one's ever done that. So that would probably be like, well, no, I've seen everything. I don't need to watch it again. It'll die.
Speaking of Winter Olympics, if I'm Miguel Oliveira, maybe Bautista, one of the Lowe's brother, I'm talking to old Tanya Harding and getting the old baseball bat of justice out. Lay down a smackdown on some knee or something, because
there's nothing. There's no competition for him whatsoever, right? I mean, even the other Ducatis, he's just so much better than everybody else.
There wasn't anybody in the frame with him most of the time.
There wasn't. No, certainly not in race two. But he finished by 13 seconds ahead of everybody else. It's ridiculous. Yeah. So as we used to say in the doghouse, he was on the side of the track smoking a cig. When the rest of them came across the finish line. Yeah, so that was that was World Superbike, and that's probably more than we should have said about it.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then, well, you know, Ken's theory on Supercross is still intact.
Yeah.
Right? Because Hunter's still in the lead, barely, right? But he's still in the lead.
I got two guys at work that I talk about Supercross with. And they
I was going to say, there's the top five or four are within 30 points of each other, something like that, 34 points.
The top four are within 18 points.
They're within 18, yeah.
Yeah, the top five are within 30.
Yeah, within 30.
Well, 27, right?
So. Yeah, and so they're doing a great job spreading the points around. I mean, you can see it, right? You can just see it in looking at the standings. They're spreading those points around. And I don't know when Jet's coming back or if he's coming back. There's no talk about it. Yeah, there's no updates about him at all. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
That's very, very weird. Because that's where my theory dies if Jet doesn't come back, but or if they're just laying the groundwork hoping he'll make it. But if it's too late this season, there's just not going to be enough points left for him to make this great comeback. What we have to do
is figure out where the magic cutoff date is.
I was to say it's going to be late. It'll be late season, but it won't be. If it's too late, I mean, mathematically, we don't know because the way they're divvying the points up, the more they spread the points, the longer they can go. Right?
Can I extrapolate on? Can I extrapolate on your conspiracy about that?
Sure.
What if he's only going to come back if his brother isn't in the points lead?
Oh, interesting theory. That's an interesting theory.
Of relativity.
Because if his brother is headed for a championship, I don't think he would
come in.
He would come in and.
I mean, he would. I don't know if the team would let him.
I don't know.
He is. Yeah. He would Bogart the shit out of his brother.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he may not.
Then you got to turn your heart on him.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't. That's an interesting theory, Phil. Right?
Just throwing it out there.
Okay. All right. Well, it's an interesting theory.
Like
it's as good as mine. It's just as good as mine.
Yeah.
And then in the 250s, which most of the field, I have no clue who they are, and one of those was James Bond winning the race.
Yeah,
but it's still controversial. It's still controversial, the victory. So I don't know. I don't know.
See, here's what I don't know is, I mean, Joe Shimoda came in second, Hamaker fourth, Jalik Swole just pretty much ended his season already. Thrasher looked terrible. That's somebody I expected more.
Yeah.
And Cole Davies in fifth, but he was so far behind. I don't know.
It's kind of like most of the field are inconsequential at all.
Yeah.
You know.
But Shimoda should have won that.
Shimoda should have won that. And I think that's, you know, I don't know if they've made a final announcement. Because the only way that Pierce Brown wins that race is Joe Shimoda checking up for the Red Cross flag, right? For the medical flag. They came up light. I shouldn't say flag. Light.
Light.
It came up and then he slowed down because you're not allowed to jump during that time. When that's out. And then the light goes out. I don't know if they have a rule about that if that light comes on, it's for one lap for everybody or what. But yeah, it just seemed really weird.
Just until the light goes off, which to me,
but that's incredibly unfair because everybody in front of you got slowed down for you then.
Right.
You know, how is that possibly going to be fair? Right.
No, I agree. But I don't think it's one lap because arguably, how do you keep track of who's on the lap, what lap somebody's on when they do it?
I think they know.
You can't have somebody rolling and somebody coming around and being like, hey, I made my lap, right? I think it's just like a yellow. And that's what it's been in the past. Like, because
it's a yellow, it's like a yellow in that you can't pass. But
No. It's like a yellow that the moment it's lifted,
yeah, everybody you're good to go. Behind. Yeah, but this is a lot more. Yeah, but it's more consequential than a you can keep speed up and a yellow you just can't pass, right? Yeah.
Remember a few years ago when there was a big argument? I don't even remember who it was. Maybe it was Sexton jumping on the red or something like that.
No,
and
I don't remember it.
Somebody, man, I'm going to say Sexton. I know some listeners going to be like, it wasn't Sexton, it was so-and-so. But somebody had like jumped on the red flag, on the red cross, right? And claimed he didn't see it or something, right?
Yeah.
Or he was already in the air and stuff, and then they cleared it, and the next person jumped right behind him and like kind of caught up, and they penalized the guy who was in the air, and they didn't penalize the other guy because, well, we had taken it down by then.
Yeah.
So I think it's just like what I meant by like a yellow. You only can't pass, like you can't jump and stuff. But I think it's like a yellow, like the moment they pick it up, it's live again.
It may be, but it's a stupid rule then, right? Because if you're actually telling someone they have to slow down because they can't jump anything, right? Which means you got to slow way down not to jump anything, and to sit there and get passed by two riders because of that. To me, it's a stupid rule. I mean, that's very, anti-competitive.
If the guys have caught him, then they shouldn't be jumping. You shouldn't be able to catch anybody under a red.
They passed him.
No, I know. Yeah, I mean, like, yeah. Because he was slowed and they lifted it and then they could keep going. Mm-hmm. So, it is such a. I don't have a better word than a sketchy.
It's extremely, that's extremely consequential, potentially, in a championship like that, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I saw that and I said, oh, this is complete BS. You know, he slowed down because there was the red light, and they did capture it on the camera. Yeah. The red light was on. He follows the rules, and then he's penalized because he followed the rules. Everybody else behind him didn't have the red light. They took it down. Well, why would you put the light up then for just that short period of time? It was up for like maybe 15 seconds. The light was on. So did someone hit the wrong button? Did someone hit the wrong button?
I don't know.
Did somebody's elbow, tick the...
Was it supposed to just be a yeller?
That's what I'm wondering. That's what I'm wondering. In which case, he wouldn't have slowed down, right? He just wouldn't have passed anybody. So I'm also
going to say this. I don't think you had to slow down as much as you're just not supposed to jump.
Well, he had to slow down enough that he didn't get any air. Okay.
Yeah, I get that, but I'm just saying.
Like, and he was coming up on the tabletop right at the start finish at that point. And so he had to slow way down.
Is said, man, these guys are catching them, and they should have had somebody on the track saying, you need to hold the red longer.
Yeah, yeah.
And
no, that's a good
them,
point.
And then let him get her, and then break the red when they're around the corner.
Yeah, yeah. When there's a big enough gap.
They were in such a rush
to react to it. Yeah,
to get the red off to let the racing go.
It had to be a mistake.
Screwed the guy in the lead.
Had to be a mistake. Because it was only on for 15 seconds. If there was someone down on the track and the red light came on, which should have come on everywhere on the track, right? There was a rider down. You didn't get a rider up in that quick a time.
All red is the end of the race, and local red is medical.
Okay.
Right?
So it was a warning that you're coming up on a rider down?
It's like the medical flag, isn't it? Or is that?
I presume it is. Yeah.
Or was it a red and the wrong? Maybe they had the light wired wrong.
Who knows? But the thing is, Shimoda got penalized, and he would have easily won.
Now I have to look at that. Was anybody down there?
I didn't see anybody down.
Now that I'm thinking about it,
I think it was a mistake.
Were they supposed to hit the green? For him being the leader going by as green, right? You know how they started doing that a couple of years ago. When the leader passed, they flashed green for a bit.
I could see that happening because it came down so fast. There's no way anybody got off the track in 15 seconds. That's just no way.
Not if it's a red medical.
No, exactly. So, but then they went into complete silence. I mean, Supercross. I didn't see anything, and I was checking to see if But they've announced him everywhere, Pierce Brown, as the winner. So who knows? Who knows? But yeah, Joe Shimoda, who I would have to say, even though he was injured, I mean, he was injured coming into this race, was just, oh, you know, he was a step above everybody else in the field that I could see.
Yeah.
Even injured. So I think he's probably, it would be a solid pick for winning the 250 East, and then nobody will care about this red light thing.
Yeah.
He wins the championship. If he loses the championship by 2 points, it's going to be a big deal.
That'd be crazy, right?
Crazy. That would be crazy. Yeah. Because of one bad decision.
Oh, sorry about that.
And you can't blame it on the rider. You can't blame it on the team. So, I mean, he's following rules. So, yeah, that
rules,
would be.
Rules are terrible.
Yeah, I agree. Rules are terrible. They get in the way of all the fun.
All right, hold on. I pulled up a video of it.
That's what I said when she said no. He said no rules. Terrible. No rules. Rules kill fun.
Yeah, it's definitely red.
Yeah, it's definitely red. There's no question about it.
Yeah, and I don't see anybody.
I didn't see anybody down. I didn't see anybody. And on the broadcast recording that I watched, no mention of anybody being down.
Well, I mean, the angle of the whole
guys,
track in front of them, there's nobody there.
Yeah. And the guy the broadcast team, they said they were caught by surprise when all of a sudden he came off the throttle, like was something wrong with his bike or something like that, because he slowed down so dramatically after hitting where that light was just before you get to the start finish line.
Yeah.
And they said, oh no, there's the red light. They had to go back and look at it themselves.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, but then they kind of like dropped it. But they did say
that means somebody in the headphone was like, somebody screwed up, shut up and move on.
Yeah, yeah. And right. they did say that, you know, even though you know, Pierce Brown crossed the finish line first, they said, I'm sure this is gonna be, you know, only a tentative victory until they come out with a decision. So I assume they made a decision. I just
don't get it. They gave the win to Pierce Brown.
Yeah, they did.
Mm-hmm. They probably made that quick, like we screwed up, or I don't know.
Yeah, and we're not going to admit it, so just give it to Pierce Brown, because that's the only way we get out of this, right?
Yeah, well, how do you explain, you know?
Yeah, they can't. I'm sure they can't explain it. They're going to say, like, you know, whatever, you know. Yeah. Somebody sat on the board and turned on the red light.
Maybe they're supposed to throw the lights for like the. It could have been they were supposed to throw the green for the.
Don't ever have Warren choose the light color.
Well,
right?
That explains why Warren ain't on the show. Yeah,
that's right.
They're probably throwing him a beat. Some supercross teams are throwing him.
Never a pick a colorblind person to turn on the lights.
You know? You mean Colbert?
Yeah, Colbert.
You're me. All right. Yeah.
So anyways, and I was going to mention before we run out of time, so we probably talked enough about Supercross. Yeah. And they had the final test in Buriram, which is Thailand, I believe.
Yeah.
For MotoGP. And that is probably, of all the testing, it's probably the most meaningless, because at that point they're just doing pretty much making their final decisions about settings and things like that. It's not for the track they're going to race on. They're doing simulations and things like that. So I pretty much didn't pay any attention to it. I didn't watch any of the Buriram test. But we got MotoGP coming up.
This weekend.
Yeah, coming up this weekend.
This weekend.
I will only say that Bezzecchi looks really good on the Aprilia. They definitely have made a step up on the Aprilia. Is it going to be enough for Ducati? Well, for at least half a race. We won't know about the rest of it until we actually see the season start. So,
yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I think it's same old, same old.
Yeah. The interesting thing, and I don't even know how to call it interesting, because I don't know if you think it's very meaningful, is that all the Aprilias were fast in the Buriram test. Everyone, all the satellite team riders were fast. They were all fast. They could definitely see that there was an improvement made. And remember, at the end of last season, like Ralph Fernandez was fast towards the very end of the season. And maybe it'll be a more interesting season, and it won't be an all Ducati. But as things finished out, it was pretty much all Ducati. So
yeah,
you know.
Like, you know, I mean, it's hard because they're doing so much changes to the bike for next year, for 2027. How much is a team really going to be investing this year in the bike?
I don't think much. I think whatever they did in the off season, they had to do, right? Because of sponsorship, right?
But
so they had to do that. So they have to do enough to win the championship, whether they will reach. The thing I'm looking forward to this season to see whether the off season testing on Honda, which has looked really, really good, that the Aprilia seeming to have made a step up, and whether Ratzgetti Haglu is going to be able to adjust to being in the bottom, half of the pack, this season, because things do not look good for him right now. And Quartararo is completely fed up with the bike. I don't know that he'll even make that much of an attempt, because he knows he's not going to sign a new contract. It looks like a very bad season.
With so many free agencies, are guys going to mailbag it? I mean, I know there are going to be people who want to win.
Some of them are fighting for seats. Yeah, there's some of them are going to be fighting for seats.
Not only are they fighting for seats, but some of them are also thinking, like, I don't want to get hurt and not be able to sign the contract for next year.
But you got to get offered a contract, right? And that's the problem. A lot of them, especially if you're a mid-pack rider,
you got a wheel.
Yeah, you definitely have to, because you're counting on whether or not there's going to be a seat in World Superbike for you or not. Not a good bet.
If there's going to be a World Superbike. Hooligan wins this, the five rounds they race.
Well, the big thing right now is if Bulaga wins the championship, there's an extremely high likelihood he will be in MotoGP next year. Extremely high, because he's already got an association with the factory Ducati team in GP as a test rider, right? So they say he's going to wild card once or twice after the season ends, at the end of the season.
Was it August?
Well, yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Sorry.
Thanks. I think actually you're just a month away. It's like September.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like a five round. I mean, he could lock up the championship next round.
Yeah. 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 So, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting thing, right? It's going to be an interesting thing, but, I mean, the entire field is, the entire field is technically out of contract, with the exception of Zarco. The entire MotoGP field is out of a contract at the end of the season. I've never seen that before. I've seen half the riders, right, without a contract.
Yeah, you see a big number. A big number is not surprising. Everybody is surprised.
But just to say the only rider under contract in 2027 is Zarco is pretty amazing, right?
That's crazy.
Because he's one of the oldest riders, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Older than Mark Marquez.
Yeah.
Starting to get a little long in the tooth.
Yeah, but he got a contract. No one else does yet. I mean, Marquez will be under contract, but, whether they come to the financial terms he wants, whether he goes for 2 years, he only signs a 1 year contract, all those things are possibilities. Yeah. So even Acosta's not signed, sealed, and delivered yet. So
no.
And I bet you they're holding up on doing Acosta. They see how much money's left over after they sign Marquez. I'll bet you.
Maybe they're trying to figure out what the going rate's going to be.
There's
so many people. I wonder what the going rate's going to be.
Yep. But all of a sudden, silly season stopped. No talk. Yeah. So Dorna got what they wanted. There was nonstop talk, silly season talk going on about 2027 before last week when, Dorna came out with this statement. And now this past week, nothing, no talks about contracts. They got what they wanted. So
maybe they get ready to get down to business. Maybe playing's over and it's time to get racing. They're going to unleash the hounds this weekend. We'll watch it.
Yep.
We'll talk about it next week.
Yep.
Maybe Warren will be back. I don't know.
I can almost pick the entire season right now.
Yeah. We already know. You might as well. Look, I'm going to say it. It's Bulaga's championship to lose in World Series.
There you go.
There, I said it.
I think
we'll
that's
see
safe.
How good the curse is.
That's
we'll
right. It's not that good.
I don't know.
Not that good, but I would talk to my orthopedic surgeon if I was him.
We'll be back next week.